Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 3rd chapter, the Bhumi Gita, verses 1 to 26, and we'll finish the whole chapter today. Verse 1. Shri Shuku Vacha Tishtvatmani Chayevya Kran Nippan Hasati Puriyam Ahomavi Chigishanti Mityo Kridanaka Nipaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, seeing the kings of this earth busy trying to conquer her, the earth herself laughed. She said, just see how these kings, who are actually playthings in the hands of death, are desiring to conquer me. Om Gyana Timiranasya Gyanan Shana Shakaya Chakshumiritam Yena Tasame Shigurave Maha. So you had the 4 chapters with Burijan Prabhu last week. Who remembers something from chapter 30, which was, I believe, the disappearance of the Yadu dynasty? That was long ago, yes.
Krishna closed his eyes to avoid social visits to the...
Oh, did he also leave in that chapter? I don't remember, but... or was that in... He was in chapter 31, I thought Krishna left. But that's true, he closed his eyes because to avoid social invitations from all the heavenly planets, they were all expecting him to come to their planet. And so he closed his eyes so that he wouldn't have to see them eagerly waiting for him at their respective planets, yes. Okay.
But this action was sanctioned by the Lord.
It was sanctioned by the Lord that the others destroyed each other. Okay, yes.
Actually, yeah, because Yadu cannot be killed only by the wish of Krishna.
Right. It was not. It was like a magic, like a drama or a magic show.
So,
a magic show or a drama is compared to two different things. Yes. They went outside Dwarka. Okay? Yes?
The quote of Bhujan Prabhu, when the drama is over, everyone takes off his costumes and
okay, when the drama is over, everyone takes off his costumes and moves on. Okay, very good. So, in the same way, what?
In the same way as everyone leaves one's temporary bodies and goes back to one's original positions before
yeah.
The past.
Okay, and the demigods also, they took off their costumes and went back to their service. So the devotees, the demigods who are devotees, they had a nice drama with Krishna, a real drama, actually very real. Yes?
We also heard how all the demigods came and they all identified that this is my Lord, this is my Lord.
Yeah.
They all came from different planets. And it was a fact that when Krishna came, all the different incarnations that lived in different places in the universe or everywhere, so they had actually merged.
They all came with Krishna, right?
So he actually went back to all the different places.
And he went. They all went back to all the different places too, all the incarnations. Yes, Vaikuntha was empty, and everywhere was empty because they all came with Krishna. Yes.
Kurukshetra, before Kali came to Krishna and said, what am I supposed to do? As long as you are here and your devotees are here, how am I supposed to rule?
Right.
And then Krishna thought, if I leave like Lord Ram, then the pious will become more pious.
Yeah.
The neutral will become pious and devotees, and then the non-devotees have been killed anyway.
Right,
so Kali
right.
will not be able to enter.
Right.
That's why he devised such a gruesome departure.
Okay. Smells like this is burning down here. Anyway. Have a good sense of smell. Just we had trouble with this morning. So I don't know if it's okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Anything else? Okay. No problem. Yes.
Another quote of Bhujan.
The
traveling roadshow of Krishna's pastimes is moving on.
Traveling roadshow of Krishna's pastimes is moving on. Very good. Yeah, and it was, yes, Jagaguru.
Yeah. Uddhava received all instructions in Dwaraka.
Mm-hmm.
And sent in Vandikashram.
Vandikashram.
He went back.
Krishna, yeah.
Right.
With Maitreya. Okay. Yes.
Before leaving the planet Earth, Krishna remembered Vidura.
Oh, he remembered Vidura. Yeah, in which circumstance, when he was talking to Uddhava and Maitreya, or must it be Maitreya? He remembered Vidura before he left. Isn't that amazing? So Vidura was so happy when he heard that. Krishna remembered him. Yes. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? Krishna will remember us. Whatever little thing we did for him, he doesn't forget. Yes.
Mm-hmm. He stayed in Dwarka invisibly.
Uppercut. Yeah, because nobody saw him there. He went back to the spiritual world, stayed in Dwarka invisibly, went to Prabhas. All right. Okay, so let's move on to chapter 1, which is the first chapter of 12th canto, Dynasties of Kali Yuga. Do you remember anybody in those dynasties? Or you remember anything from the chapter? Yes. We don't want to remember these people, right? Yes? Oh, a lot of killing. Yeah. The servants would kill, or the ministers would kill the king, which is Kali Yuga, which is the beginning of Kali Yuga. Yes?
Yeah, all patrons of Kali, when Krishna was on the planet, Kali should not use his tricks.
Yeah, when Krishna was here, Kali could not use his tricks. Yes. After Krishna left, then all of these demoniac kings came. Yes.
Yeah,
servant.
And then the servants became kings.
Yeah.
So
they have their own dynasty, the Shudras.
Yeah, there was, I think, Nanda.
Yeah, King Nanda. They're true, because they're predicting.
They bring us all the way to the present time.
Right. Right. So you can verify. Yes?
Rulers start to imitate them.
The citizens imitate the behavior of the rulers, right. Yeah, I had a comment here from Vishnu Chakravarti. In two cantos, 10 and 11, the nectar of Krishna's pastimes in the Moon Dynasty has been described for drowning all people in bliss. Now, in order to produce detachment from all other things in people, the rest of the Moon Dynasty is described. So then the kings, the demoniac kings, that's for detachment. And before that, it's for bliss. So 12th canto, after hearing 12th canto, if we're not already detached after hearing Uddhava Gita, then we should become detached after hearing 12th canto. And not desire to stay in this Kali Yuga as a demon. It's very nice to be a devotee here. The people of the other yugas, they worship Kali Yuga because it's so wonderful. And although it's so many disturbing qualities, one good quality, and we'll hear about that today. Okay, yes, Parvati.
It's the structure of authority and the tendency to follow authority has been so undermined. The only way to cut through all of this is by the Sankirtan.
The only way to cut through is by Sankirtan. Okay, it's chapter 2. Does anybody remember any of the predictions for Kali Yuga? Yes.
Hairstyle.
Yeah, and Srila Prabhupada said he had a different translation. He said, "Beauty is having long hair." Every time Prabhupada would see this Lavanyam Kesha Dharanam, he would say that in Kali Yuga, then people will think they're beautiful by having long hair. That meant especially the men. And as I said before, in Hawaii, Prabhupada said, "Lord Chaitanya has come to shave you." Because his Bengali accent was save. He meant to say save, but he said shave. And the devotees were laughing. He said, what? And then he said, because you said shave. This is true. Okay, any other predictions you remember? Yes.
People will be considered dirty to go out
Just by taking a bath, then you're ready to go out. Before, you had to have chandan, tilak, you know, ornaments, garlands, so many things before you go out. And now it's just a, you're lucky if you have a bath, right? Prabhupada said, in the West, he said he was so surprised that, you know, it's difficult to have a bath. People didn't even have, I mean, one of the places, the flats he was living, he didn't have a bathroom or shower. He didn't have a shower or a toilet. He had to go out to have his bath somewhere else. So, yeah. Three baths in a lifetime in China, in one place, in the
when
desert.
They birth, when they marry, and when they after they die.
When they take birth, when they marry, and
after they die.
After they die. So only two in the life. And one after. Yeah. Once a year.
Where?
I guess it's pretty cold, you know, so they must be hard. Last year. Yes?
Religion. Day by day diminish.
Day by day diminish in the age of Kali. Okay. Yes. Increased?
Bogus.
Bogus spirituality, yeah. Just by symbols, by external, they will judge somebody is spiritual or not. Yeah.
Duration will be maximum 50 years.
Yes?
And now the young girls are coming with jeans to the temple.
Oh, yeah, we can see.
Punjabi dresses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what will happen next.
Yeah, from Delhi, from Delhi. Yeah, from Delhi, you can see the influence of Kali already. Yes?
The governments are harassing the citizens and they run to the caves of the mountains.
Yeah, the governments are harassing. There was something I saw that the Federal Reserve Bank in America is just plundering the people. So people lose their money. Yeah, and, overnight, someone told me, someone from Russia told me a story that they changed the currency in Russia when they changed from USSR to Russia, and overnight everyone lost all their money because the old money was worth nothing. So whatever money they had in their hand, in the bank, was worth nothing. Overnight. They do it at night, so, you know, the people don't... Yeah. They do it overnight. No, at the bank, it won't matter if you run in the bank, because the money's useless.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't exchange?
They won't exchange it, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Limited amount.
A limited amount. Okay, they exchange, but... So that's communism. Everyone gets the same amount. Even though it was supposed to be free, right? But it was still the communist theory that everyone should have the same amount of money. But I bet those people had more money, the ones who did it. Yes.
Wonder what you were telling me, they're in America now, they've got no civil rights.
Yeah.
So by propaganda, they put people in so much fear that they've agreed to a law whereby they can be stopped by the police and checked without any...
Wow. Amazing. America.
When was that?
Yeah. There's a law that the police can stop you anytime and check you. Check what?
Search
and
destroy.
Oh, wow.
Without a search warrant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Used to
be
you have that search warrant.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I see. Yeah. Yes.
Then at the end of Kali Yuga, Lord Kalki will appear.
Yes.
The eternal principle.
Jai. Kalki will appear at the end of Kali Yuga. Yes.
In Kali Yuga, everyone thinks that everything is going better all the time. Everything is going worse.
People are thinking it's going better, but actually, it's worse day by day. It's getting worse. Yes.
Socially,
I don't know about that. It's just wealth. I think even they can be anything. I mean, the example was Prabhupada gave was the Beatles. They were doing so many things that weren't socially acceptable, but because they had money. People came and would interview them about world topics, you know, just because they had some money. Just wealth, pretty much. Just wealth. And from a lecture of Prabhupada, he said a very interesting thing, and there were two verses about marriage, that it's just by agreement. And Prabhupada said that this legal marriage is marriage by agreement, because you just go in front of some man, some magistrate, and say, I agree, and that's marriage by agreement. Prabhupada said this legal marriage of Kali Yuga, this is marriage by agreement. So that was quite an interesting point, that the normal, what everybody accepts as a proper marriage, is marriage by agreement, according to Srimad Bhagavatam. You just go and agree in front of the magistrate. Yeah.
Lesson to be learned from this chapter, we see all these temporary dynasties. So we should become detached and learn how to use the temporary to get the eternal.
Learn how to use the temporary to get the eternal. That was our parting verse from Uddhava Gita. You trade in your temporary useless body for Krishna, who is eternal. That's the process of bhakti. Yes.
After 1,000 years of celestial years of yuga, Satyuga will manifest to me.
Yes, Satyuga will come back. But we won't be here to see it, most likely. Prabhupada, actually, he told Allen Ginsberg that my devotees will all go back to Godhead. But Allen Ginsberg said, well, what about me, you know, if I stay here? Well, you are prepared for spring today. Today?
No.
Oh. Eighth, okay. You're early. You're not in Kumbhakonam. Okay. So this is what's happening in Kali Yuga. The news. It's the news. Report today, yes. All the predictions, yes?
So in the end of Kali Yuga, it's two kings will receive some message and they will start like Kali Yuga. And so now they just live in some village in the Himalayas. But like in the,
yeah, they're up in Himalayas right now. Maru and who's the other one? Devapi. Devapi and Maru. The Devapi is the brother of Shantanu. And then he's waiting to re-establish the Surya dynasty, and Maru is from the Moon dynasty. They're waiting up in the Himalayas. A lot of people are up there. Vedvyasa is up there, and that same must be a wonderful village, Shambhala. Mm-hmm. It must be a really amazing place where all these people are living and we're just waiting for Kali Yuga to finish. I want to read you something. It's a poem which summarizes the second chapter, all the predictions. Actually, this is a Vasa Puja offering by one of our dear devotees. He used to be called Mahamantra Das, and now his name is Bhakti Madhav Maharaj. So he wrote a beautiful Vyasa Puja to Srila Prabhupada, and in this Vyasa Puja, he wrote poetry. He poeticized all the verses, not all the verses, but the predictions of chapter 2. So I'll read this for you. As an introduction to our chapter today of the Bhumi Gita. The embodied jiva soul, a boat, stuck in Kali Yuga's mire. Can it ever hope for freedom, roaming through the din and dire? The Yuga's waves, samsara sagar, so difficult to behold. Tossing, churning, shifting, swirling, say the shastras, there foretold. Here below is a slight description of Kali Yuga's degradation from 12th Canto, Bhagavatam. This description invokes compassion. Transcendence is its purpose. Be it done. Cleanliness, tolerance, religion, truth. Much less of this will be. Life's duration, mercy, physical strength, and memory will flee. Obtaining wealth by any means, thus character is judged. Unless you're exceptionally strong, law and justice can't be budged. Common law, let's live together, so-called man and wife. Without the spiritual connection, it will always end in strife. Strength for sex, their marriage connection, does their hearts not grow so tight. And in business, if there's cheating, then it's perfectly all right. Kali Yuga Brahmanas rave, God, it's a force, in person, dead. Or even, who cares, I'm a Brahmana, just look and see my thread. A spiritual man, or so they think, by looking at his clothes. And nothing of yours you'll keep without money, everyone knows. A real scholar, how can you tell? His speech is expertly composed. But what it all boils down to mean that no one exactly knows. People will travel to sacred places. so far, but only to bathe. No questions will be asked of bhaktas, for this they are like knaves. For such a bhakta, pure, is unattractive to them there. The new young people, their conclusions are certainly contraire, for all their so-called beauties concentrated in their hair. In Kali Yuga, a talker bold is accepted as one who's right. If one maintains a tiny family, he's expert by common sight. The Dharmadwajis, religious flag wavers, will wave for only so long. Oh, very religious, they'd have you think, yet Krishna consciousness they have none. 50 years only, they'll live their lives, cut short by irregularity. Lashed by rain, wind, and scorching heat, they'll have nowhere to flee. At last, so bad they will become, all rascals, just as kings. To smite them down, Lord Kalki comes. It's so, the Bhagavat sings. This dreadful Kali Yuga is only part of her misery. 8,400,000 different boats, Sangsara Chakra's gallery. Unless the boat has a captain who will guide it through the storms, there will be nothing that will stop the fettered jiva's lives reborn. As Shonak and other rishis of Naimasharanya fame accepted Suta Goswami as captain, we also call your name. O Prabhupada, at your feet, 10,000 Prabhus sit. You're the captain of all our boats, reconditioned by your wit. Your merciful guidance makes us able to cross this sagara's width, so much so that some of us will tow small boats. We're fit. Yet we've no knowledge, wisdom, or strength, and none of prema bhakti. You have all this. We've seen it clear, your wonderful qualities. In service staunch to Guru and Krishna, thus confident, we ply aloof. The dark and desperate Kali Yuga Sagar, rendered small as a calf's hoof. O Prabhupada, unto you this day, with each and every word we pray, please let us print and distribute your books and free the jivas from Kali's sway. And this was from Bombay BBT, 1990, Vyas Puja, by Mahamantra. A nice summary of the 12th canto, part chapter 2. So I just thought to read that. So this chapter 3, we're going to hear about how the earth is noticing the foolishness of all the kings who want to conquer her. And even though this age of Kali is full of faults, glorification of the name of Hari destroys them all. So these kings, playthings of death, want to subdue their 6 internal enemies. This we'll hear very soon. And afterwards, they imagine they'll go on to conquer the earth and all the oceans. And seeing their false hopes, the earth simply laughs. For eventually, they all must leave the planet and go elsewhere. And then, after taking this planet, part of it, they have to give it up. And then their friends and their brothers and sons quarrel over it. So the study of history, this is the summary of this chapter, naturally leads to the conclusion that all worldly achievements are temporary, and this conclusion should give rise to a sense of renunciation. And the highest goal is pure devotion to Krishna. So the earth is laughing, looking at all these kings. You just heard all their names. And this is the Bhumi Gita, or the Gita by Bhumi Devi, the earth goddess. And here it goes. Great rulers of men, this is verse 2, even those who are learned meet frustration and failure because of material lust. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the dead lump of flesh called the body. Even though the material frame is as fleeting as bubbles of foam on water. So the body is like bubbles of foam. It's also like Prabhupada says in second canto, it's flapping for a few days. It's like a cloth flapping for a few days, and then it's finished. So this is, but everybody thinks, I will live forever. And verses 3 and 4, kings and politicians imagine, first, I will conquer my senses and mind. Then, I will subdue my chief ministers and rid myself of the thorn pricks of my advisors, citizens, friends, and relatives, as well as the keepers of my elephants. In this way, I will gradually conquer the entire earth. Because the hearts of these leaders are bound by great expectations, they fail to see death waiting nearby. So it's interesting to note that they want to get rid of all the people who are close to them. And I think we see this. This is the Kali Yuga mentality. As soon as Stalin took over Russia, then the first thing he did was kill so many people in Russia, the intellectuals, right? the people who were more intelligent than him, he had them killed. And China, the same thing with Mao, I think, what they call it, cultural revolution or something, and they kill all of anyone who has any intelligence. Yeah?
In Cambodia, they were killing everybody who had glasses.
Cambodia, where's this? Cambodia? Or
yeah.
Cambodia.
It's not far from...
Anyone who wears glasses. Oh, just see. Yeah, because you must be intelligent if you wear... Because you read too many books, and that's why you need glasses. Wow. Just see. This is here. It's predicted. The Kali Yuga kings, the rulers, they will just kill their own citizens. So what kind of how can you be safe even in your own land? You're killed. Purport: to satisfy their greed for power, determined politicians, dictators, and military leaders undergo severe austerities and sacrifice with much self-discipline. Then they lead their great nations in a struggle to control the sea, land, air, and space. Although the politicians and their followers will soon be dead, since birth and death are all inevitable in this world, they persist in their frenetic struggle for ephemeral glory. So there's two words here which might be difficult for English second language. Frenetic, everybody understands that word? Frenetic, it means frantic. And ephemeral means temporary glory. 5. After conquering all the land on my surface, these proud kings forcibly enter the ocean to conquer the sea itself. What is the use of their self-control, which is aimed at political exploitation? The actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation. So Vishwanath comments, what they do in the ocean after conquering the earth, they go steal the jewels in the ocean. And so then verse 6, O best of the crews, the earth continued as follows. Although in the past great men and their descendants have left me, departing from this world in the same helpless way they came into it, even today foolish men are trying to conquer me. 7. For the sake of conquering me, materialistic persons fight one another. Fathers oppose their sons, and brothers fight one another, because their hearts are bound to possessing political power. So they don't even care for their own family. So demons are in the same body, demon and demigod in Kali Yuga. So also, and in the same family you have demons. I think many devotees, they had this experience that you joined Krishna consciousness, and then your own family became very unsympathetic with you. A lot of them got, what do you call it, when they throw you out anyway. Yeah, the parents, I think Satyajit Maharaj's parents, disowned. They disown you. Say, you are not my son. Yeah.
It's in the same body as well.
So we have our own battles. That's what Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj would say, that the spiritual warrior, you have to fight the battle within and conquer the lower self by the higher self. 8. Political leaders challenge one another. All this land is mine. It's not yours, you fool. Thus they attack one another and die. Purport: this verse describes with brilliant clarity the mundane political mentality that provokes innumerable conflicts in the world. For example, as we prepare this translation of Srimad Bhagavatam, British and Argentine military forces are bitterly fighting over the tiny Falkland Islands. The fact is that the Supreme Lord is proprietor of all land. Of course, even in a God-conscious world, political boundaries exist, but in such a God-conscious atmosphere, political tensions are greatly eased and people of all lands welcome each other and respect each other's right to live in peace. Now, in Prabhupada, in the first canto, he was writing Srimad Bhagavatam. He also said something very similar, that as I'm writing this commentary, China is preparing to attack India or something like that it was. Yeah. So then there is in a lecture in New York City in the beginning, in the second chapter, 55 to 58, Prabhupada talks about this. And he quotes Ishavashamidam Sarvam from Ishapanishad. Nothing belongs to you. Actually, everything belongs to God. And he says that God laughs when two parties fight over some land. And he said, we have seen this in India when there is partition day. That means there was a certain day and they divided Pakistan and India. And that day the Hindus and Muslims were rioting. And the ones that were on the India side were killed by the Muslims, were killed by the Hindus, and then the other side, the Hindus were killed by the Muslims. And so there was a lot of killing going on, and even in the streets of Calcutta. And so Prabhupada, I think he escaped. He was also being chased during that time, and he escaped. And he said that they used to fight each other, and they both of them died, and they were lying on the street in the morning. And he said, now you ask them, whose land is it? Whose is it? Who will reply? They're all dead. They said, who? Because they're fighting over the land. And nobody replied. He said, nobody replied. If you ask them, who does it belong to? And so he says, God's land will remain here, and we fight. This is my land. And so this is what's going on in the world today. This is the news. The people are fighting over land, over oil. And it's said that in the future they will fight over water, I believe. Water will become scarce. Now they're fighting over oil. So verses 9 to 13, we have a list of names. All the most famous kings from Srimad Bhagavatam. Such kings as Prithu, Pururava, Gati, Nahusha, Bharata, Kartavirya Arjuna, Mandata, Sagara, Ram, Kadavanga, Dunduha, Raghu, Trinabindu, Yayati, Sharyati, Shantanu, Gaya, Bhagirat, Kuvaliashva, Kakutsta, Naishadha, Nuga, Hiranyakashipu, Vritra, Ravana, who made the whole world lament, Namuchi, Shambhara, Bhauma, Hiranyaksha, and Taraka, as well as many other demons and kings who possess great powers of control over others, were all full of knowledge, heroic, all-conquering and unconquerable. Nevertheless, O mighty Lord, although they lived their lives intensely trying to possess me, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical accounts. None of them could permanently establish their rule. Purport. According to Shrita Sridhar Swami, confirmed by Shrita Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, the king Ram mentioned here is not the incarnation of Godhead Ramchandra. Vritra Maharaj is understood to be an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who completely exhibited the characteristics of an earthly king claiming proprietorship over the entire earth. So they're explaining. A saintly king like Vritra Maharaj, however, controls the earth on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas a demon such as Hiranyakashipu or Ravana tries to exploit the earth for his personal sense gratification. Nevertheless, both saintly kings and demons must leave the earth. In this way, their political supremacy is ultimately neutralized by the force of time. Modern political leaders cannot even temporarily control the entire earth, nor are their opulences and intelligence unlimited. Possessing hopelessly fragmented power, enjoying a minuscule lifespan, and lacking deep existential intelligence, modern leaders inevitably are symbols of frustration and misdirected ambition. So let's go over this list, and raise your hand if you remember something about these kings. Prithu, we already discussed in the purport. He was an incarnation. Pururava, who was he? Raise your hand. Yes? Ailagita, okay. What else do we know about Pururava? Which dynasty? Yeah?
Moon dynasty.
Okay.
Son of Mercury.
Buddha's son, Mercury. Okay. Very powerful king. And what was Purava's wife's name? Purvashi. Okay. Gati. Who was Gati? Raise your hand. Vishramita's father. Okay. Nahusha. Yes.
He's acting like Indra.
Yeah, he took the post of Indra. And he became a snake. Bharata. Yes. He went to the platform above. He fell down, had to take three births. Kartavirya Arjuna.
He fought with Parashuram.
Parashuram killed him. He fought with Ravana and he defeated Ravana.
He made him like a fool.
Mandhata.
He's the one whose daughters Subhari Rishi married.
Oh, he's the father of all the daughters. He's the father-in-law of Subhari Rishi, okay? And he also got the thumb of Indra, I think. And he was left. Was he the one that was left by his mother and he sucked the thumb of Indra? Mandhata. Sagara. Yes.
He's the one whose descendants brought down...
Gautam Ganga. Okay, it says Ram and it says it's not the Ram we know, so I don't know which Ram that is. Katavanga. Yes.
Fought for
the demigods.
And then he was told
few seconds to live. Right. Okay. Duntuha. Okay. Raghu. He is in the Rams. He's famous because of Ram, actually. Trinabindu. That was ages ago. That was ninth canto. Trinabindu. Was he the one that's halfway between? No. That's Trishanku. Trishanku. Oh, okay. Yayati. Yeah. Yeah, he wanted to trade his old age for the youth of everybody, his sons. He approached? No, first Yadu. The first four rejected and the last one accepted. Puru was the youngest. He asked Yadu first. Yadu refused. Who? Trinabindu is the grandfather of Kubera. Okay. Sharyati. Shantanu. Raise your hand if you know Shantanu, yes?
Father of Bhishma Dev.
Father of Bhishma Dev. What was the special power that Shantanu had? Yes?
Just by touching, he would remove disease, old age, and fatigue.
Just by touching someone, he could remove disease, old age, and fatigue. I bet the scientists would like to get a hold of him.
That's what his name means.
Tanu means body, and Shan means what?
Blessing.
Blessing the body. Parvati would like to. Okay, Parvati, you find him for us. We can.
He
can
if he had that power, then it would seem that.
Well, not death.
Not death.
So, okay, Gaia. Who was Gaia? Nobody knows. Bihar, we know. God, that's where Gaia is, but who is Gaia?
Rishabhdev's
forefather.
He was showing some similar austerities.
Okay, he was doing austerities. And I believe he was bathed by the demigoddesses, perhaps, doing some sacrifice. Pagirat. Yes?
He brought Ganga.
He
make alive all his forefathers.
Yes, he brought. He was the successful one. Kuvalayashva. Name's familiar, but rings a bell. But okay, Kakutsta. Naishada. Nriga. Yes. Okay, bye.
He became a lizard.
Hiranyakashipu, we all know very well. Vritrasura, we know, okay. Ravana, we know. Namuchi, demon or good king?
Demon.
Very good, that much you know. and he was killed by a very special weapon, I think. He's the one who was killed by a foam weapon. Shambhara. Yes, demon. He was killed by Pradyumna. Shambhara. Bhauma.
Shambhara was the one who
got Mayavati, yeah.
Who took Pradyumna out.
Yeah. He stole Pradyumna and then threw him in the ocean. And he ended up in his kitchen. In the fish. Just see it. What goes around comes around, goes around. Came right back, his karma. Bhauma. Yeah, Asura, yes. Krishna killed him. Hiranyaksha, we all know. Taraka, who was a demon, but I also forgot who he was. Who he is. Okay, so now we're refreshed our memories.
Nrsimha wasn't just, you know, kind of a lizard. He was liberated by Krishna.
He was liberated by Krishna, yeah. Not just a lizard, but he was liberated by Krishna. A very special lizard, yes. Yeah, Prabhupada also, he touched one cockroach. No, he didn't touch him. He told Jayapataka to throw him out the window. He says, here, I'm giving you the whole world to enjoy. Okay, I don't know how. I thought Prabhupada touched him, but no. Shukadeva Goswami said, Almighty prediction, I have related to you the narrations of all these great kings who spread their fame throughout the world and then departed. My real purpose was to teach transcendental knowledge and renunciation. Stories of kings lend power and opulence to these narrations, but do not in themselves constitute the ultimate aspect of knowledge. So the stories of the kings were to make it powerful and opulent. When you hear about all the kings, then you hear about the opulence and the power. But actually, it's not the ultimate knowledge. Purport. Since all the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam bring the reader to the perfection of transcendental knowledge, they all give supreme spiritual lessons, though apparently dealing with kings or other mundane subject matter. In relation with Krishna, all ordinary topics become transcendental narration with the power to bring the reader to the perfection of life. So this is an interesting verse because it talks about Srimad Bhagavatam. Somebody may ask, well, why are all these kings' stories in Bhagavatam? So here's the answer: to teach knowledge, transcendental knowledge and transcendental renunciation. Okay, so what to do then? Verse 15, the person who desires pure devotional service to Lord Krishna should hear the narrations of Lord Uttama Shloka's glorious qualities, the constant chanting of which destroys everything inauspicious. Devotees should engage in such listening in regular daily assemblies and should also continue his hearing throughout the day. So that's very nice. Instruction by Shukadeva Goswami that we should hear these narrations the whole day and the whole night. Purport. Since any topic related to Lord Krishna is auspicious and transcendental, direct narration of Lord Krishna's own activities, political and non-political, is certainly the supreme subject matter for hearing. Word nityam here indicates regulated cultivation of the topics of Lord Krishna, and abhikshanam indicates constant remembrance of such regulated spiritual experience. So we have nityam bhagavata sevaya. We should always hear bhagavatam. So Vishwanath comments, there's three things, four points to be understood. So he says, in talks about the stories of the Lord, one should hear the remarkable excellence in the stories concerning Krishna's eternal associates, which are superior even to the stories of these great devotees. So in Bhagavatam, we hear about so many great devotees. But even superior to that is to hear about Brijbasis, is what Vishwanath is saying. One who desires pure bhakti should constantly hear the stories revealing the qualities of the Lord, which are found here and there in the other cantos, but are everywhere in the 10th canto. So then he gives 4 points. Number one, hear about devotees. Number two, hear about Krishna's devotees. Number three, hear Bhagavatam. Number four, hear the 10th canto. So one is specific and one is general. General instructions and specific instructions. King Parikshit said, my Lord, how can persons living in the age of Kali fourth, hear the 10th canto? Third one, hear Bhagavatam. How can persons living in the age of Kali rid themselves of the cumulative contamination of this age? O great sages, please explain this to me. It seems like the last one was good enough, but he wants to hear more. The last one said, just hear about Krishna and hear these stories. But now he wants more information. Purport. King Parikshit was a compassionate, saintly ruler. Thus, after hearing of the abominable qualities of the age of Kali, he naturally inquired as to how those born in this age can free themselves of its inherent contamination. Remember at the end of fifth canto, and then beginning of sixth canto, King Pariksit asked a similar question after hearing all the hellish planets and everything. What question did he ask? Beginning, yeah?
How can poor people avoid these hellish planets?
How can people avoid the hellish planets? And what was the answer? Hari Nam Sankirtan, yes. And then we heard the story of Ajamila to prove the answer, evidence from the history. Okay. Now, Pariksit is going to ask another question. First, how can we get free from contamination? Then, please explain the different ages of universal history, the special qualities of each age, the duration of cosmic maintenance and destruction, and the movement of time, which is the direct representation of the Supreme Soul Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Seems like we've heard all this a lot already. Oh, but yes, we've heard this in so many places. But now he's asking personally to Shukadev. We've heard other narrations. So Vishnath says that this is not a material question because time is a representative of the Lord. So it's not material to ask about the yugas, about creation and destruction, because time is Krishna. Kalosmi, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, I am time. And Arjuna asked, who are you? Of course, that wasn't the beautiful form of the Lord, but it was a form, an expansion. 18, Shukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, in the beginning, during Satyayuga, the age of truth, religion is present with all four of its legs intact and is carefully maintained by people of that age. These four legs of powerful religion are truthfulness, mercy, austerity, and charity. Purport. Just as there are four seasons, there are four ages of the earth, each lasting hundreds of thousands of years. The first of these is Satyayuga, when such good qualities as charity are prominent. Actual charity, here referred to as dānam, is to award fearlessness and freedom to others, not to give them some material means of temporary pleasure or relief. So this is what Śrīla Prabhupāda says in Nectar of Instruction, when in that Dadati Patagrinati Guhyamakyati Pruchati, that verse, that real charity is to give the holy name and to give knowledge, to give fearlessness to the people. Any material charitable arrangement will inevitably be crushed by the onward march of time. Thus, only realization of one's eternal existence beyond the reach of time can make one fearless, and only freedom from material desire constitutes real freedom, for it enables one to escape the bondage of the laws of nature. Therefore, real charity is to help people revive their eternal spiritual consciousness. Okay. Verse 19, the people of Satyayuga are for the most part self-satisfied, merciful, friendly to all, peaceful, sober, and tolerant. They take their pleasure from within, see all things equally, and always endeavor diligently for spiritual perfection. So although they sound perfect, they're still trying for perfection. Although they sound like they have everything, all the spiritual qualities, they're still endeavoring for perfection. So purport, Samadarshan equal vision is based on the perception of the spirit, Supreme Spirit behind all material variety within all living entities. Okay, I want to ask you all a question. How come these people of Satyayuga, although they're have all these good qualities and they see everything equally, how come they're trying for self-realization, spiritual perfection? Why are they trying? Yeah?
Because these are qualities of sattvam, whereas self-realization is yashoda sattvam.
Okay, so they're influenced by, so the qualities they have are qualities of the material mode of goodness, but they want to be spiritual, transcendent. What's the proof that they're not so transcendental? They have a material body. That means if you have a material body, it means then you did something wrong somewhere along the line. And it's okay, good. These are qualities of goodness, and they're aspiring for Vishuddha Sattva. So even if you have all these qualities of goodness, you should not be proud. Just think of the people of Satyayuga, yes?
Actually, when I got rid of
they're so together in our spiritually, all the centigrade and Jewish with the Maya group. And they can play each, the Manu on Friday night, they all come and they have a big kirtan. And they're so talented, it's so natural. But I thought, actually, they've got a material body, they did something enormous. So it makes me feel like incompetent, you know?
When you see all the Gurukulis at the manor, yeah, it does. And then you think, okay, well, maybe I should come back and, and do it better next life. Yeah, Dukirtan, actually, I knew one life member, congregational member, and he was aspiring to come back because he was an old man, and he said, I can't learn slokas, I can't do anything, I can't play instruments, so it's better if I come back and then I can have a chance to do all these things in my next life. Yeah, so obviously these Gurukulis, although they don't seem like that they're that together, they are. They have all these talents. They're not like ordinary people, and we can understand why Bhagavatam says if you fall down, you don't fall down like ordinary karmis. So they may have fallen down from their position, the Gurukulis, in their last life. But still, you can see some of their opulence there, and they just people are so attracted to them. They're just different.
What might the healing calls heavenly bodies.
Heavenly bodies. Yeah, heavenly bodies.
They're always very attractive.
Yeah, they're very attractive to people. I know. I was on the beach in Goa when my son was like 5, 4, and people would just stop us on the beach and just say, you know, they just look at him, you know, they couldn't believe. Even when I was in London, he was 13 years old, and one man who lived across, somewhere in a neighborhood, he just looked at my son, he said, you know, I never seen beauty like that before. He says, he should be a girl. And he was often mistaken like that, if it were for a girl, actually, until he became 14. But, I mean, just ordinary people. When I came to Vrindavan, when he was 6, then he was getting proposals to arrange his marriage with the Brijbasi girls when he was 6 years old. It was quite, I said, well, I think he's a bit too young right now, you know. Anyway, yeah, the devotee kids are very, very special, very attractive. And you can see they have two sides. But yeah, when they actually do Krishna conscious things, then nobody can defeat them. They're very, very Krishna conscious. Okay, well, let's go back to Treta Yuga. Okay, Treta Yuga is coming now. Each leg of religion is gradually reduced by one quarter by the influence of the four pillars of irreligion, lying, violence, dissatisfaction, and quarrel. Purport. By falsity, truth is diminished. By violence, mercy is diminished. By dissatisfaction, austerity is diminished. By quarrel, charity and cleanliness are diminished. Okay, don't look at your books. Truth is diminished by what?
Lying,
falsity. Mercy is diminished by violence. I said the wrong word. Okay, dissatisfaction reduces which one? Austerity. Okay, charity and cleanliness by? Quarrel. Fighting. All right. In the Treta Yuga, people are devoted to ritual performances and severe austerities. Wait, before I read this verse, I thought something was very interesting in that last verse. Because usually we think that one leg is destroyed, and according to the first canto, it seems like with every yuga, one leg is destroyed. But here it says, all four legs are destroyed by one fourth. So I thought that was an interesting, a different angle on that, how it is being diminished. That all four are being diminished by one fourth with each yuga. So that was a different understanding from what we've been used to. 21. In the Treta age, people are devoted to ritual performances and severe austerities. They are not excessively violent or very lusty after sensual pleasure. Their interest lies primarily in religiosity, economic development, and regulated sense gratification. And they achieve prosperity by following prescriptions of the three Vedas. Although in this age society evolves into four separate classes, O King, most people are Brahmins. So Treta Yuga is not so bad, but they do have, it is reduced by one-fourth. They don't have such bad qualities. They're not so violent or lusty, but they want dharma, artha, and kama, and not moksha so much. I mean, they follow the Vedas. So when they talk about varnashram, then this is the age. Treta Yuga is the perfect age for varnashram. 22. In Dwapara Yuga, the religious qualities of austerity, truth, mercy, and charity are reduced to one-half by their irreligious counterparts, dissatisfaction, untruth, violence, and enmity. 23. In the Dwapara Yuga age, people are interested in glory and are very noble. They devote themselves to the study of the Vedas, possess great opulence, support large families, and enjoy life with vigor. Of the four classes, the Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are most numerous. So that sounds a lot like Kshatriyas. Large families, many wives, enjoying life. And the Brahmanas studying the Vedas. So Kshatriyas and Brahmanas are in Dwapara Yuga. 24. In the age of Kali, only one-fourth of the religious principles remains. The last remnant will continuously be decreased by the ever-increasing principles of irreligion and will finally be destroyed. 25. In the Kali age, people tend to be greedy, ill-behaved, and merciless, and they fight one another without good reason. Unfortunate and obsessed with material desires, the people of Kali Yuga are almost all Shudras and barbarians. Well, here we are in this age of Kali, in the age of Shudras and barbarians. Purport. In this age, we can already observe most people are laborers, clerks, fishermen, artisans, or other kinds of workers within the Shudra category. So I was thinking when I read this verse how Christ, when he came, his followers were like from the Shudra. They were carpenter and fishermen and shepherds, and they were like all from the Shudra class. And Shri Prabhupada, I mean, he got us, which were from the streets. I mean, Prabhupada went even one step further. At least to Christ, he preached to the Shudras, but Prabhupada, he got. But there was something there because, we were able to take to Krishna consciousness.
Prabhupada said, you're just like sannyasis, you're giving everything up.
Yeah.
You're like dogs in the street.
Yes. Yes, we're just like sannyasis, we've given up everything. That was the time, the late 60s, that, you know, just drop out, tune in, and turn on, and whatever, you know. Yes, that was the time. We were renounced in some things, but not in all things. I mean, the regulative principles.
No direction.
No direction, that's right. And Prabhupada came, and he just, you know, took away a few of our things.
Looking for direction.
Yeah, Prabhupada came and gave direction. And he took away our drugs, and he took away our illicit sex, he took away everything, all these things, and gave us Krishna. He was chanting, stay high forever. Stay high forever by chanting. So this is who Prabhupada had to preach to. It was amazing. Enlightened devotees of God and noble political leaders are extremely scarce. Even independent businessmen and farmers are a vanishing breed as huge business conglomerates increasingly convert them into subservient employees. Yes, I heard that in the Bengal, the companies from the West, they came and came and bought all the seeds of the farmers. They paid them huge sums. And these seeds are good because you can plant them when you grow them, and then they come and you can plant the seeds and more will come. And then they sold them seeds that only work for 1 year, and then you have to buy seeds from them again the next year. So this is what's happening. When I lived in the village in Goa, they had their own seeds. For generations, they're in the family. And then they keep those seeds, and then they use them for the next year's crops. They plant the seeds. So this is these huge business, the farming there, they do this. This is one of the things they do. So they make the farmers, the simple independent farmers dependent on them. for seeds. Dependent on that, they have to go to them and buy their seeds. This happened in India. Yeah. And now I think we discussed this. There's a law in America, you can't have independent farms or something. I don't know. You can't have these things. It has to be all the big, huge business conglomerates. It's against the law to have these independent farms. So it's really the age of Kali. Vast regions of the earth are already populated by barbarians and semi-barbarous peoples, making the entire situation dangerous and bleak. Krishna conscious movement is empowered to rectify the current dismal state of affairs. It is the only hope for the ghastly age called Kali Yuga. And somebody told me that one of our sannyasis is buying up a lot of farmland now in India for the future, because he understands that, you know, the future in the cities is not going to be very good. Yeah, in South India. Yeah, yeah. Also, yeah. Hmm. Right.
Water is costly in South India. To take out the water is very costly.
In where? In Chennai. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about Kali Yuga. There is a verse in the first canto of Bhagavatam which describes the qualities of the people of this age. What verse is that? Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. That they are, well, first of all, they have short life, and then they are always quarreling, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and always disturbed. So this is the problem. Probably in that purport to that verse, he said that the sages of Naimisharanya, they analyzed the condition of Kali, and they saw all these problems. And Prabhupada gives us, he says, why duration of life is shortened, not so much because of insufficient food, but because of irregular habits. These people who live long, old age, they ask these old people, live like 100 years old, they ask them, well, you know, what? How did you live your life? And one of them said, well, I used to walk every day, a few miles every day. I would eat little. I would eat very little. And these were the main points. They didn't eat too much. They didn't overeat. They kept exercising. And he says, and I don't have too much stress. So all these other things. And then Prabhupada says, overeating, over sense gratification, over dependence on another's mercy, and artificial standards of living sap the very vitality of human energy. Therefore, duration of life is shortened. So why life is shortened? Because of irregular habits, artificial standards of living. So it saps the very vitality of human energy. When you're depending on someone's mercy, your boss, as most people these days, they depend on their boss, and if they don't have a job, they depend on the welfare department, in the West anyway. They depend on the government. So this saps your energy. You have to depend. You have to go and beg for your money from these people. And even if you do, if you are interested, then you get a bogus guru. You get the wrong place. You go to the wrong place. And it's very difficult to do spiritual life in this age. And I wonder how this... Oh yeah, and the Prabhupada talks about how there's no money, that actually this money is worthless, that this paper money, because it's not even backed up by gold anymore. And the ladies have ornaments made of plastic instead of gold. We use plastic plates, plastic cups, spoons, whatever, instead of gold, as was in the previous ages. And but people are very proud of their advancement, he says, because now we have plastic. We have manufactured plastic. It's the age of plastic and iron. And so this is Kali Yuga, we can see.
Recycled plastic.
Now we recycle the plastic. Yes. You throw it in the garbage and you can recycle it now. In those days, they didn't even recycle their pots. I mean, the kshatriyas. The kshatriyas would just use them like clay pots. The golden one. I mean, the plates, golden plates, silver plates, eat once, throw it away. And nobody would steal it either, because everyone was so satisfied. So verse 26, the material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, whose permutations are observed within a person's mind, are set into motion by the power of time. Yeah, so remember the beginning of creation? Time agitated, and then the modes came. The four ages describing these verses are manifestations of various modes of material nature. Age of truth, Satyuga, manifests predominance of material goodness. Kaliyuga manifests predominance of ignorance. According to Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, within each age, the other three ages occasionally manifest as sub-ages. Thus, even within Satyuga, a demon in the mode of ignorance may appear. Within the age of Kali, the highest religious principles may flourish for some time. As described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the three modes of nature are present everywhere and in everything, but the predominant mode or combination of modes determines the general character of any material phenomenon. In each age, therefore, the three modes are present in varying proportions. Particular age represented by goodness, satya, passion, treta, passion and ignorance, dwapara, or ignorance, kali, exists within each of the other ages as a sub-factor. And Vishwanath Chakravarti makes another interesting comment that just like if you know astrology, the planets like the sun have major periods, dasha, and within that period there are minor periods, that's antardash, of the other planets. So in any particular yuga, the qualities of all four yugas periodically manifest. So just like, we have a chart, so the yugas have charts too. Satya Yuga has a chart, Kali Yuga has a chart. So now the time of Lord Chaitanya must be Jupiter in the sub-period of Jupiter or something like that, because Lord Chaitanya came. And so we're very, very fortunate to be in this time, to be born at this time in Kali Yuga, because we have the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we have a Satya Yuga sub-period, for 10,000 years. Of course, it will be not such a big one. It will be a very small antardasha, 10,000 years, and then 427,000 of the rest.
And then we'll be the next year.
They say? Who says?
I don't know. The devotee is talking about 2012. It's bad conjunction.
Yeah. Bad. Yeah. A bad conjunction. Oh. Okay, we will expect. So yes, they are predicting in 2012. So there will be a very inauspicious time. And Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was here, there was always talk about things like this. Prabhupada, you know, there's going to be a war. What are we going to do? Now what shall we do? And Prabhupada said, you have to chant Hare Krishna. What else can you do? He says, yes, we will just chant. And if we chant, we go back to Godhead. And if we live, then we chant, and we are in our spiritual dimension. It's a protection from Kali Yuga. That is our protection, chanting the holy name. Then Vishnu says, even in Kali Yuga, from time to time, there is not a decrease in dharma. This is seen in a single person as well. And the antakaran, apmani of a single person, all the modes come and go periodically. So, when you're looking at your chart and you're saying you're in Rahu, that means, okay, the mode of ignorance is there. But it doesn't mean you have to be in the mode of ignorance. You can chant and counteract it. You can chant. Of course, that is namabhas chanting, can counteract all the influence of the planets. So you should try for it. Just be attentive in your chanting and avoid the offenses. And that's namabhas. Two symptoms. Avoiding the offenses and be very attentive. Attentively chant the holy name. Okay. Any questions or comments on these verses? No questions. Well, that's the first time. First time in all my classes. I have a question. So you're an astrologer. Oh, he has a question. Okay, I was going to ask an astrologer a question. Yep.
I don't know which...
Yes, yeah, more logical, one-fourth of each. Yes. The other one is also mentioned. That only truthfulness is left, and that also is diminishing. Yeah, so it would seem like we have to accept both, because in the first canto it talks about the four legs of the bull, and three legs are gone and one is left. So in that sense, it's true that, okay, it's only one left. Yes?
So then when you cut the cake, it's horizontally or vertically?
Okay, when you cut, now we have an explanation here by Vanamali. When you cut the cake, you can cut horizontally or vertically.
Horizontally means it's like you could
scale. Okay, if you cut horizontally, then you can have each of the four ages. Yeah, but the point is, we understand that. How it can happen. But which one is true? That was the question. I mean, do we cut it horizontally or do we cut it that way and leave the three-fourths are going that way or three-fourths are going this way? Which one is true? Which way are we cutting the cake? That's the question. Yes. You cut both ways. And Kali Yuga, I think you're cutting both ways. And Kali Yuga is both ways, yes. It's not cut and dry, according to Abhay. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, yeah. Okay, yes.
As far as the first canto is concerned, it was only Kali who broke down the other legs.
Oh, okay. Hey, this is a very good point. So we can understand how both are true. Yes. According to the first canto, it was Kali who broke down the three legs of the bull of religion. So it could be true that before, you know, it was diminished. In Treta Yuga, it was one quarter less. But we've heard it also that, you know, each yuga, one leg is less. But, okay, so there's another way of looking at it that you can understand. So someone asks you that question, now you have the answer. Yes.
So we have truth, mercy,
austerity, and...
Is it full leg? Is it charity or cleanliness?
Well, charity is a really important one.
Yeah.
And in the first canto, it's cleanliness, mercy, truth, and austerity. Okay, and then and here it's charity. So when you answer that question, you can have either one. If it's, yeah.
I don't understand Adiparusha's comment.
You didn't understand it?
No.
So we just read that at the beginning, at Treta Yuga, one quarter of each of the qualities was diminished. But in the first canto, we heard that Kali himself destroyed three of the legs of the bull. So that means there was not even that one quarter left. So before that, it could have been there until Kali came. So what he's saying is Kali is responsible for completely finishing the first three. They may have been there in Dwarapar and Treta.
Shorter.
They shortened. The legs were shorter.
Then after they destroyed those three, then what happened?
Then only truthfulness was left. And then King Pariksha came and he stopped that.
So he brought it back to
He brought it back, yes. King Pariksha brought it back again. Because while Pariksha was here, Kali also couldn't do anything. But he gave him those four places. Those four places weren't there. So he said, okay, you can stay where there is hoarding of gold. But still, Kali could not have his influence also.
It's still Kali who was working through these inauspicious activities, isn't it? Like lying and cheating and all these things are actually Kali. And
yeah, they're Kali, yeah.
Chops put three legs down and then he started working more subtly on all the legs afterwards.
More subtly. Yes. Any other questions or comments?
What was your question?
What was my question? Oh, I forgot. My question. Oh, yeah, okay. In the antakaran of a single person, all the modes come and go periodically. So that means... what is this antakaran? That means the
subtle body.
And the subtle body.
Antakaran means the subtle body.
Antakaran means subtle body.
Mind intelligence.
So the modes, we can see that how the modes are coming and going in our, but here it says periodically. It seems like it's like already, I mean, like for not for a devotee, of course, but for a non-devotee, there are times when the ignorance will be prominent in your subtle body and the goodness.
Every night.
Every night. Oh, okay. Times of the day. All right. At nighttime, ignorance is there. And in the morning, hopefully, goodness is there if you're not sleeping. Yeah. On the day, we see that. We see the times of the day. There are the modes, different modes. So then this is just expanding it. And during the yuga, there's different times for goodness, passion, ignorance. Even though it's the ignorant, the Rahu Dasha for the... It's Kali Yuga is the Rahu and Ketu, I guess. They have their... The demons are powerful. But there will be antardashas. So that means it's a very good time to preach next year. If there will be all these things happening, then that means the time for the devotee. That's what another thing Prabhupada said. If there is a war, then after the war, it will be very good for preaching. The devotees were always worried. I mean, some devotees, not all devotees. Some devotees were worried about that. Yes?
Well,
there is
a, because they're
in a mess. Well, the thing is this, 1,600 years ago, the earth, it happened, and the earth is still here, and 3,200 years ago, it happened, and
earth will be there. But so many blood, earthquake, like magnetic, something like this.
And what are the scientists going to do about it? that is our question. So, the scientists are, I mean, I remember Y2K. That was in year 2000. And it was, you know, and devotees were, you know, bringing all kinds of, you know, ghee, tons of, you know, so much ghee and this. And I just said, you know, every day in India is Y2K, you know. Why should we worry, you know? So every day is like, why should we worry about Y2K?
I remember one devotee, I won't mention her name, told me, you have a big basement, you should start storing grains. I said,
yeah, so everybody should know that I have everything. Poverty smart. And then 2000 came and nothing happened. It was just all a big, you know, of course, this planet may come, but, and something may happen.
No comments also.
Yeah, afterwards. Yeah, I know. It's so okay. The lights went off again, and the water stopped running.
But in the meantime, so much banking exchanges were going on.
Yeah. No, they want to make people afraid.
$400 billion was spent on updating software. It was only in the U.S. and all over the world. It was $1 trillion something.
Yeah. And so, see who? Guess who started this rumor?
Microsoft.
Yes. And they made all the money, and see, and the people didn't complain, you know.
The single mistake that happened was that one computer in Japan, instead of 2000, wrote 19,000 in one place. It was a single mistake on 1K. No other mistake.
Haribo. Okay, so yeah, we are prepared. Now we have to prepare. To preach and to be devotees. Whenever a catastrophe happens, devotees are there with food for life. Mm-hmm. Devotees are there. They help the people, you know. Yes.
The only thing.
Yeah, every... This is the point.
About this information is that nothing will happen. I also brought so many instances from Srimad Bhagavatam. The devotees, neophyte devotees coming to... And they're in such panic.
Now this is
everybody
the point.
This is the point. Preparing themselves to die. This night.
Well, that's good.
And you know, but
then now it's a good time for preaching. You want to prepare for death. Okay.
One boy told me, now I should engage in gross sense gratification in such a way that I should... for this 1.5 year, get to experience everything.
Yeah, this is demonic mentality.
No, many of them, not only one.
This is demonic mentality. Let me enjoy.
Anyway, I will die.
Because,
after 1.5 years.
Well, that's the philosophy.
That's in Moscow happened. You know, 1,000 devotees in Moscow, nobody talking about these hasty things, and nobody
him checking, distributing books, Harinama, and so nice, so powerful.
But I was myself very surprised to see him.
Okay, okay. Any other comments or questions? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.